This is Transformation Church Podcast. Here at TC, we represent God to the lost and found for transformation in Christ. From wherever you're listening, we hope you are encouraged by this week's message.
What's going on, TC? I am so grateful that you are here today because we are in week 3 of Fun Month, and today is Laugh Out Loud Sunday. We have a culture code of fun at Transformation Church. That means we enjoy it all. And today, I want us to enjoy the Lord, enjoy each other, and enjoy what God is doing in our life, no matter what season it's in. And this is why I brought my man, Pastor Craig Groeschel, to Transformation Church. Let me let you know that the speaker today, though it's Laugh Out Loud Sunday, the one thing that ain't funny is working out with him. Transformation Church, he is a world leader. He is somebody that has practical wisdom, and today he's going to help you win. Will you please give it up on Transformation Church platform for Pastor Craig Groeschel?
Hey, Transformation Nation! Pastor Mike, thank you so much. Pastor Natalie, my wife Amy and I, we love you guys. It's an incredible honor to be with one of the most influential churches on planet Earth. I want to just show honor to your pastors. In fact, earlier this month, I was with Pastor Mike, who taught at the Global Leadership Summit. You got to understand, like, this is the probably the biggest leadership event in the world, kind of for business leaders. And guess what your pastor did? Your pastor rocked the Global Leadership Summit wearing some Jordans. How about that? That's a new standard, and we just applaud what's happening here. All the lives being impacted through this amazing ministry, and we just celebrate the impact. We've got the amazing book, hey, Relationship Goals. How about 43 million weeks on the New York Times bestseller? We love your pastors, and I know as a church family, you would just honestly celebrate the fact that your pastors are getting some rest right now. I applaud the way they care for their marriage. They're going to come back full of vision, full of the word, and we thank God for their amazing ministry. I'm excited to bring a word to you today. We're going to be in John chapter 20. The title of today's message is Run Your Race. You might type that in the chat. I'm going to run my race. And I believe my assignment from God is to help someone get free from the curse of comparing. How many know comparing can just eat you up? I don't know about you all, but it's really easy to be satisfied with your life until you see someone else has something you don't. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, my life sucks. I liked it one moment and I don't now. In fact, I'll tell you a little bit of a story. I have a little sister. We were born 3 years apart, exactly 3 years to the very day. Like literally, my birthday is the same day as her birthday. And my grandmother would always send me a $20 check and send Lisa a $20 check every year for our birthday. And every year, my sister would open up her $20 check and she'd say, $20. And I would open up my $20 check and I would say, $100. And every year she'd get so freaked out and she'd run to her room and she'd cry. Well, one year grandma got a hold of my little story. And that year, whenever we got our checks, I got a $20 check and I opened it up and pretended like it was $100. My sister got her $100 check, like really $100 check. And I ran to my room and cried like a little girl. Why? Because the fastest way to kill something special is to compare it to something else. Come on, somebody, you know what I'm saying. The fastest way to kill something special is to compare it to something else. And you might do this all the time, like when your friend is on her second vacation this year by the pool, reading her stupid little book, looking at her feet, and the only vacation you've been on to is Los Backyardos. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Or you got your perfect Pinterest mom who's now homeschooling with a little binder and her hair always looks perfect and you hate your kids and your hair hadn't been out of a ponytail since 2009. Your friend is at the gym flexing on social media. You're eating your second bag of chips looking at your friend and you recognize all of a sudden, I don't feel so good about myself. The problem is, wherever comparison begins, contentment ends. Let me say it again, Transformation Nation. Wherever comparison begins, the moment you begin to compare with someone else, what they have, you weren't invited, you weren't there, she's got more shoes than Zappos, whatever it is, the moment you start to compare, that's when contentment tends to end. Why is it? Because comparing makes you feel either superior or inferior, and neither one honors God. What does comparison do? It makes you feel better than, or it makes you feel worse than, and neither one honors God. In fact, my friend, Pastor Andy Stanley, he did a message series. He called it The Land of Ur, The Land of Ur. And he said there's no win in comparison. And he said most of us, we just want the Ur. Whatever someone else has, we want better. We want greater. We want to be prettier. We want to be stronger. My problem is, I don't want just I want est. Meaning, I want to be the strongest. I want to be the healthiest. I want to be the most retweeted est, or whatever it is. Am I talking to anybody? You just sit there and polish your halo all day long and act like you don't deal with this. But the problem is, whenever we start to compare, we're dishonoring God. I want to show you in Scripture today from John chapter 20 what is really an amazing story, honestly, of competition and comparison. In fact, back when I was in seminary years ago, I had a seminary professor who told me that there was most likely a rivalry between Peter and John. And I'm going to show you that this very likely could be true. It's also really funny. Now, if I were Peter, John would have gotten so on my nerves. One of the reasons is that John talked about himself in third person. John called himself the one that Jesus loved. Now, let me just tell you, TC, okay, Transformation Nation, if you talk about yourself in third person, stop it in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's not cool. Pastor Craig came to give you a message today, okay? John did that, and it was annoying. And when you read the disciples, you're going to see there was a little bit of comparing and competing. In other words, when they're sitting at the table, they're wondering, hey, who's the best? Jesus, who's your favorite? Who gets to sit at the right hand? I'm wondering, Jesus, who do you like the most? We're comparing. I want to show you in John chapter 20. Let me give you the context. This is so amazing. Let me show you the context. It's Sunday morning, the day that the women discover that the stone was rolled away. Jesus had just given his life 3 days prior. The disciples were beside themselves. The body of Jesus is missing. And I want to show you what happened when Peter and John visited the tomb. So what you're going to notice is the tomb is empty, and I want you to count how many times John tells you that he's faster than Peter in a foot race. I'm not making this up. The tomb is empty. Christ is risen from the dead. And John is faster in a 50-yard dash than Peter. Watch this. John chapter 20, starting in verse 2. Scripture says this. So Mary came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, and here's John being annoying. What does he say? He said, the one that Jesus loved. He's talking about himself. And he said, they've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they put him. So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Now watch this. Both were running. Here's number one. Type in the chat number one. Just type it in there. Here's number one. Both were running, but the other disciple, this is John talking about himself, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. Then Simon Peter came, and where was he? He was behind John. There's number two. Type it in the chat. Number two. There's number two. Then Simon Peter came behind him, and he went straight to the tomb. Finally, the other disciple, that's John, who had what? Who had, here's number three. Type it in. Who had reached the tomb first also went inside. Imagine the tomb is empty. Peter and John hear about this, and they decide, we're going to have a foot race, and suddenly they're fast walking and jogging to see who could get to the tomb first. Little competition. John wants you to know very, very clearly, I'm way, way faster than Peter. What's interesting, though, as you go on, the story actually turns a little bit more serious. Now, if you know about Peter, Peter was bold. Peter was courageous. Peter had a big mouth. And Peter bragged oftentimes about how he was going to be faithful to Jesus. If everybody else denied Jesus, he was always going to be there. He had Jesus's back. He was Jesus's guy. Well, if you know the story, unfortunately, not just once, not just twice, but three different times, Peter ended up denying even knowing Jesus. A little girl would say, like, hey, are you one of the disciples? Like, I don't know who he is. And what's tragic is Jesus actually saw with his own eyes Peter, one of his closest disciples, betraying and turning against and denying even knowing Jesus. Well, Jesus gave his life, and after the resurrection, there's this unbelievably meaningful moment when Jesus shows grace, shows love, has this undeserved mercy and expression of generosity toward Peter. And you can read about it in John 21. And what Jesus just says to Peter is, like, hey, Peter, do you love me? And Peter's like, yes, oh, yes, 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 yes. And then Jesus says, well, then feed my sheep. Be faithful to this assignment. And then Jesus asks Peter a second time, do you love me? It's like, yes, of course I do. And he asks him a third time. And the last time that Jesus asks him, he changes the word, ask him, do you love me? But uses a stronger, more intense word in the Greek language. And what's interesting is to watch how Peter responds to this. Jesus keeps telling him, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. That's, if you love me, this is what I want you to do. There's some of you, you're going to hear from this, that God's got a specific assignment for you. If you love him, here's your assignment. Scripture says this, Peter turned around and saw behind them the disciple that Jesus loved. Peter saw John behind him. And so what did Peter do? Peter asked Jesus, hey, what about him, Lord? I know you told me to feed the sheep, but I want to know about John. What's his assignment? What's his calling? What do you want for him? Peter turned and saw behind them John, and Peter said, what about him, Lord? And Jesus replied, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? Peter, as for you, you follow me. As for you, Peter, here's your assignment. You feed my sheep. You do what you've been called to do. You do you. You use your gifts. You fulfill your calling. You step into your anointing. You don't look at anybody else, Peter. You do what I uniquely created you to do. What's the challenge, Transformation Nation? The thought is this. You can't faithfully follow Jesus if you're always comparing yourself to John. Oh, come on, somebody. You can't faithfully follow Jesus if you're always comparing yourself to someone else. What about their gifts? And why wasn't I invited? And how come I don't have that many followers? And why am I not included like they are? You can't faithfully follow and serve the one who called you and created you if you're always comparing yourself to someone else. Why do we do that? Why do we sit there and scroll mindlessly through our social media feeds feeling left out, feeling less than, even sometimes having a little bit of anger and jealousy at the people that we genuinely love? Why do we do this? The reason is because by nature, we're sinners. Can we say that in church nowadays? I mean, like, we have sinned and we've fallen short of God's standard of holiness. And because we're sinners, what we're trying to do is we're trying to find some external win, some external meaning of validation to satisfy an internal spiritual longing. The problem is there is no external win that can ever satisfy our internal spiritual need. Transformation Nation, there's not enough money. There's not enough followers. There's not enough likes. There's not enough power. There's not enough popularity. There's not enough success to fill the empty longing that only Jesus can fill. You can't faithfully follow Jesus and fulfill your calling when you're always comparing yourself to John. Why do we do that? We're trying to fill a spiritual need with some type of external validation that doesn't have the power to satisfy our spiritual longing. So what do? You probably do some version of what I do. I go through life hoping that you'll like me, notice me, say I'm cool enough, say I fit in. Hey, you like my shoes, you like my post, you know, hey, you like the music I listen to, you like my car, you like where we hang out. I mean, we're cool, right? I mean, I'm in your group. And then before I know it, I'm starting to just kind of live in such a way where I'm wondering, I wouldn't ask it, but it's at the front of my mind, did I live up to your expectations? You know, am I presenting the whatever it is that makes us cool, that I fit in? Hey, do you like me now that I'm more successful? I mean, I got more followers than I did, and you know, I drive a better car now, and I got a job that, you know, is commensurate with my education. I mean, are we kind of on the same level now? Have I done enough on the outside to make you like what's on the inside? Here's the question that we must answer. If you're a mom, you've got to answer this. If you're a dad, you have to answer this. If you're a student, if you're a young adult and you just want to represent, you have to answer this question. And one of the most important questions that you must answer is this: who or what is going to define my worth? Be honest about it. Who or what is going to define my worth? Like, seriously, who for you? Who defines what you're worth? Who communicates value to you? Whose expectations are you trying to live up to? Whose desire do you want to meet? Is it a dad that's maybe really difficult to please and wasn't really generous with love, and you think, if I'm just successful enough, maybe he'll notice? Is it a mom who maybe was a little bit controlling? Is it an ex-spouse? Or is it a boss, like, if I can just get her to notice me, or if I can be good enough for him? Or is it friends, you know? Or is it your kids, like, I just want to be cool with my kids, I want my kids to like me? Or is it them, like, who's them? I don't know, but them, like, I just want them to like me. Who's them? I don't know, just them, man. I just say, you know, I'm thinking about them. Who's them? Just them. I want them to like me. Who or what is going to define your worth? If, for those of you, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you're a disciple, if you want to please Jesus with the way you live, if you're a follower of Jesus and your answer, who's going to define your worth? If your answer is anything besides Christ, you will always be running a race that you cannot win. Who or what is going to validate you? Who or what is going to say you are special and you belong and you are doing what? If your answer is anything besides Jesus, you will be running a race, always feeling like you're left behind, left out, and don't live up to what you've always hoped to become. Who or what is going to define your worth? For real. I love the power of what the author of Hebrews said in Hebrews chapter 12. This is a word for somebody today. The author to the Hebrews said this, and let us run with perseverance. And here's what I love. The author said this: the race marked out for us. Do you realize there is a specific race for you to run? And your race is different than my race. I can't win your race. You can't win my race. God has a race for you. And his assignment for you is to run the race marked out for you. And how do you do that? You fix your eyes not on John, not on her, not on his feed, not on what they're wearing, not on how popular he is, not on what they have, not on what you hope to become, but you fix your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of your faith. What do you do when you're running your race? You're fixing your eyes on Jesus. I want to please him. I want to know him. I want to show him. I want to serve him. I want to live for him. I want to glorify him. I'm fixing my eyes on Jesus and I'm not running. Whoa, Pastor Mike, you ought to be here for that. I am not running to please people. What is the problem? Hey, that was a good catch. Can I just pause for a moment and say, that was a good catch, man. That was a good catch. I will not do that again. What are we doing? We're fixing our eyes on Jesus. What's the problem? For some of you, you may love Jesus, but your eyes are on people all the time. Everything in you is like, what do they think? Do I live up? How do I measure? Do they like me? Do I fit in? What's the problem? Please hear me. The problem is being obsessed with what people think about you is the fastest way to forget what God thinks about you. I'm going to say that again because somebody needs to hear this. Being obsessed with what people think about you, that's the fastest way to forget what God thinks about you. And the really bad news is you can't please everybody. As soon as you fit into one group, you're out of the other. And as soon as you fit in one place, you don't live up to something else. And the bad news is you can't please everybody. The good news is, guess what? You can please God. You can please God. When you love him by faith, with faith, it is possible to please God. The challenge is, it's impossible to win someone else's race. When you run track, I used to run a little bit of track in high school. When you run track, the fastest way to guarantee you lose is to look over your shoulder because it takes your eyes off the finish line. Some of you, you've taken your eyes off Jesus. Your eyes on somebody else. I love what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. This is what Paul said. He said, hey, when you run, listen to me, you run hard. You run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. Listen, Transformation Nation, you're not running for a temporary prize. No, no, no. You are running for an eternal prize, one that never rusts, one that never fades away. And so Paul said, because I'm running for an eternal prize, because I'm running for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he says, I run with purpose in every step. When I wake up, I'm serving Jesus. I'm faithful to him. I want to glorify him. I'm dying to myself. I'm keeping my eyes on Jesus. I'm casting off the sin that so easily entangles. I've got my eyes on the prize. I'm not running for a temporary earthly crown. I'm running for a crown that never fades away. My eyes are on Jesus. Who are you? Who are you? Let me tell you who you are. You are the masterpiece of God, created in Christ Jesus, get this, to do good works which God prepared in advance for you to do. Before you were even born, before your mama knew your daddy, God knew what he would put inside of you, when you'd be born, at what time you'd be born, at what place in the world you'd be born, he knew the gifts he would put in you so that you could best glorify him today. You're the masterpiece of God. The word in the Greek is poemas. Like, it means like a poetic statement. Like you're the masterful poetic glory of God. He knew exactly what he was doing when he made you. He prepared you. So guess what? You can't run somebody else's race. That's why I'm cheering on Pastor Mike like nobody's business. It may surprise you, but I met a pastor or two that are kind of jealous. Like, where'd he come from? Like, a couple of years ago, we hadn't heard of him, and now, like, he's everywhere. Listen, he has a very unique calling, a unique set of gifts. I'm going to stand by and cheer him on. Run, Pastor Mike, run, Pastor Mike. Come on, run, Relationship Goals. Come on, run, Transformation Nation, because we're all important. God's not going to judge me by his calling, and God's not going to judge him by my calling. Anytime you find someone else, and maybe you get a little bit jealous, just turn it on him and say, you know what, I'm cheering you on. You run your race. You run for the glory of God. I'm cheering you on because I can't win your race and you can't win mine. I'm running my race. I'm running my race. I'll tell you how it plays out for me. And I'm going to confess what's a part of me that I'm not real proud of. And my wife Amy here and my son Sam's here, and they could kind of tell you, yeah, this is one of my weaknesses. One of my weaknesses is that I really want people to think, like, when they see me, like, I want them to think, hey, you're kind of important. Not proud of that. You probably got your deal. Yours might be, like, cool or fly or hip or smart or, you know, whatever. Mine is, and I'm kind of embarrassed to say it, but, like, I want you to think, hey, yeah, like, you know, he's got a good church. Like, he's a good teacher of leadership. Like, he's an important evangelist. You know, he's done something in life. He's significant. The problem is, and I just need to say this, is that God did not call me to be important. What did God call me to be? God did not call me to be important. God called me to be faithful. And if I stand before him in heaven one day, God is not going to say to me, well done, my good and important servant. If I live the life he's called me to, if I run my race, what he would say to me is, well done, my good and faithful servant. Here's what's so interesting. It's so often I want to do something that's important, but God's calling me to be faithful. And what I've had to learn is that success isn't what I accomplish out there in the future. Like when I finally get verified or so many followers or I'm making six figures or I get the book deal or I get noticed or I get the date with that girl that I've always wanted, whatever it is. Success isn't something that I accomplish in the future. Success is actually being faithful to Jesus today. That's what success is. And what's crazy is the moment that I start to become faithful to Jesus, then what I do is actually important. Think about it. When I'm faithful to Jesus and I'm running my race, and I'm the masterpiece of God, and I'm doing the good works he created in advance for me to do, because I'm being faithful, the outcome is what I'm doing is actually important. It's not just important now, but it's important to God. And the way I explain it is this. I've been married going almost 30 years to Amy. We have six kids. Come on, somebody. Six kids. People say, man, you must love kids. Nope, I just love my wife. And all God's people said, amen, amen. And we've been blessed with a really good marriage. And if you just ask me, like, what's your race? What I'm going to tell you is this. My race is loving my bride and raising my kids. My race is building the church and building leaders. And my race is actually collecting pens. That's right. Don't get me a pen. Please don't get me a pen. I don't want your pen. I just want one pen every year. And I'll tell you the story behind it. This is my race. I can't do what Pastor Mike can do, but I can love my bride, I can raise my kids, I can build my church, and I can collect pens. Back in about 2006 or so, there was a well-known spiritual leader, most of you would know this person if I told you his name, sent me a pen with a note written by his hand and that pen. And the note said something like, Pastor Craig, this pen is a gift that represents 365 days of faithfulness. It came at the end of that year, and he said, you've faithfully loved your wife, you've invested in your church, you've been a good shepherd to the sheep, you've preached God's word, you've lived morally, you've been wise, you've had integrity, and this pen represents 365 days of faithfulness. I thought, that's pretty cool. That's really cool. Well, the next year, a year later, he sent me another pen with a year on it and my name, Craig Rochelle, 2007, with a very similar note. And year after year after year, I started getting these pens. It was probably 5-6 years in. Well, guess what, man? I started looking forward to my pen. Because what this does is it represents 365 days of faithfulness to my bride, to my king, to my church, and living according to his standards. And that is really successful. That's my race. I asked the guy years later when I met him, I said, oh my gosh, how many people do you send these pens to? Like, you know, is it like hundreds of 50? And he said, I'm really sad to say that I used to send it to so many more spiritual leaders, but things had happened, and year over year, the list had become so much shorter. And immediately, and this is one of the reasons why I'm so glad your pastors are taking significant time off, because they're resting and they're refreshing and they're caring for themselves. Because if you don't, you become more vulnerable and you can make wrong decisions, you can burn out, and you can end up not going the distance. So what's my race? My race is to lay down my life to serve my bride as Christ loved the church, to raise up my kids like my son Sam to serve Jesus and be even more faithful and impactful for the kingdom than I am. My goal is to collect pins because I want to be faithful to Jesus all the time, all the time, all the time. And when I'm faithful, then guess what? I do important things. May not be important to you, but way more important than what you think is what I do is important to my heavenly Father. God's called me to be faithful. What about you? I would ask you very, very sincerely, Transformation Nation, you're watching from your living room, you're watching at work, later on, online, wherever you are right now. What's your win? What's your win? What's your race? What is faithfulness to you? It might be that you don't create the biggest social media following, but you put out good and godly, helpful content. That's your race. Maybe you're starting a business and it's not the biggest and the most profitable, but you know what? You do what's right. You lead with integrity. You're creating value and you're treating your people well. Maybe you want to be generous, but you don't have the biggest income around. That's okay. What you can do is you can be faithful with what you have and be generous with what you have. It might be that you're a faithful voice in your student ministry. It might be you're the boldest person in your class. You're representing Jesus with everybody that you see. You don't have to be important to anybody else. You be faithful to Jesus. And when you're faithful to Jesus, then all of a sudden, you're doing what is important. I hope you'll understand this. There's no win in comparison. There's no win in comparison. The fastest way to kill something special is to compare it to something else. You can't win your race. You can't win someone else's race. You can only run your race. How do you do it? You run with purpose in every step. Nobody can beat you at being you. Don't run for the approval of others. Don't run to win the approval of your critics. You run your race. You run your race. You run your race. When you wake up, what do? You say, God, I belong to you. I'm not living to please people. I want to live to glorify Jesus. And then you take a step with purpose. I'm dying to myself. I'm leaving my flesh behind. Jesus, I want to walk by faith and not by sight. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is dwelling within me. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed to be a blessing to others. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet it's no longer I who lives, but it's Christ who lives in me. I'm walking with purpose in every step. I'm not trying to please people. I'm here to please God. I'm not living for what you think. I'm living for what He thinks. He is my master. He is my king. Jesus is my source. He is my redeemer. He is my rock. Come on. He is my righteousness. He is my healer. He is my sustainer. I'm living for Jesus. I'm living for Jesus. Somebody ought to shout wherever you are. Type it in the chat. I'm living for Jesus. I can't run your race. I'm running my race. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith. Step by step by step. I'm running with purpose in every step. Who are you, Transformation Nation? You are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for you to do. Therefore, you're running your race, keeping your eyes focused on Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are running your race with His help and by His power. You will run with purpose in every step. Because eternity matters, you will run hard, giving him your all. No regrets, no excuses, holding nothing back. By his grace and through his Spirit, you will leave no words unsaid, no deeds undone, no hope unshared. Why? Because you are the light of the world. You are created to shine. Transformation Nation, your faith can move mountains. Your prayers calm storms. Your words give life. Your hands bring healing. Your feet deliver the good news that Christ is risen from the dead and he is coming again. God's word is a lamp unto your feet, directing your steps. His Spirit is your power when you're weak. He is strong. Listen to me. Your life is too valuable and your calling too great and your God too good to waste your life on things that do not last. You're not running for a temporary prize. You're running for the eternal glory of serving Jesus. You're empowered by God, trained by God's Spirit, tried by fire, and equipped by his word. Who are you? You're a masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus. You are living for the glory of God and not for the applause of men. What do? You're running your race. You're running your race. You can't faithfully follow Jesus when you're always comparing your life to John. My prayer for you, as there are tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of you in Transformation Nation, that you would recognize you don't just go to a church online, but you are the church. And you are called to represent wherever you are. Every day when you wake up to run your race. Someone looks at you. What are you doing? Why are you acting like that? Why are you so passionate about Jesus? Why are you telling everybody? Why are you so loud about your faith? Why are you so bold? You just look on and smile and keep your eyes on Jesus and say, I'm running my race. I exist to glorify him. So, Father, today we pray for anyone who is suffering under the curse of comparison. God, set us free to take our eyes off of what people think, and God, help us to live for what you think. God, I pray for someone who's listening right now who's caught up in the trap of comparison. That God, rather than just trying to be important in whatever we do, God, you would help that disciple to be faithful. God, help us to be faithful. And we know that when we're faithful to you, then what we do will actually be important eternally. As you're praying today, there are those of you, you may understand and recognize that you're not walking with Jesus. In fact, if we could just like sit down and talk to each other and I kind of ask, you know, where are you spiritually? You might say, yeah, I kind of believe in God. Man, Mike Todd's cool and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, I like watching. But you're not intimately, faithfully serving Jesus. You might have a whole list of excuses like, you know, well, I would, but I've been kind of bad and I'm not quite ready yet. I still have questions. And let me just tell you very clearly, bottom line is none of us are ever ready. We'll never be good enough. The truth of the matter is all of us have sinned, all of us. We've all done stuff that's wrong. And the good news is that God is calling you at this moment right now. He sent his son Jesus, who is the Son of God, who is perfect, who never ever sinned. Jesus went to a cross and became sin for us in our place and died on the cross. And just like we talked about earlier, 3 days later, when Peter and John were on a foot race to see the tomb, 3 days later, the stone was rolled away, the tomb was empty. Christ is risen from the dead. Why? So that anyone, and this includes you, anyone who calls out on that name that is above every name, the name of Jesus, anyone who calls on Jesus, all of your sins would be forgiven, they'd be washed away, you'd become brand new. There's someone right now, you can sense it, you're watching, it's not by accident. It's because you've been trying to fill some external need, to fill an internal void. It is a God-shaped void that only Jesus can fill. What do? When you recognize you've sinned, what do? When you're empty, you walk away from your sin, you turn toward Jesus and you call out on him. And I would love to just invite you to pray, even as you're watching right now. Just pray right at your computer, in front of the TV, but by your phone, with someone around you. I don't care if you're on a train, whatever you are. Just pray kind of out loud and pray, Heavenly Father, forgive my sins. Jesus, save me. Make me new. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so I could know you and serve you and run my race to glorify you. Thank you for new life. I give you all of mine. In Jesus' name, I pray. It's been an honor to be with you. There is a phone number that I would love for you to text if you're giving your life to Jesus. You can even type it in the chat. I'm giving my life to Jesus. We're praying for Pastor Mike and Pastor Natalie, who will be back in no time, ready to bring a great new word. It's been an honor to share with you. You guys, please come back. I know you will next week. And whatever you do, go out and live a transformed life. God bless you.
If God is transforming your life through this ministry, join us in reaching others by partnering with us today. You can give through our TC app or at transformchurch.us/give. Thank you for listening, and remember to subscribe to enjoy more messages like this. Now, go and live a transformed life.